May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
In the church calendar, we have just two more Sundays after today before we come to year's end. Two more Sundays in which we will be reading from the Gospel of Mark, this being Mark's year. Then after that, Advent will begin anew, and we will find ourselves in Luke's Gospel, beginning in December. The reading that we have today comes from near the end of Mark's Gospel, because we have been working our way through. And as we approach the end of the year, we also approach the end of Mark's Gospel. This is really the last reading, the last story that we have from Mark before the events of Jesus' passion and death start to unfold. You may remember a couple of weeks ago we had the story of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus and his followers were on their way up to Jerusalem. They were at Jericho at the foot of the mountains, on their way up the high road towards Jerusalem. In today's reading, they are there. They are in Jerusalem. They have arrived. Jerusalem. For Jews of that day, and still today, the hub of Jewish life, identity, worship. As I said, the events which will hurtle towards the crucifixion have not yet begun. Yet they have arrived. They have arrived at the temple. They have arrived at that most significant of places for Jewish worship. And Jesus is teaching his followers. And the lesson that we are today, the lesson that we were taught today, that we heard as today's gospel, is really sort of the last normal teaching moment that Jesus has with his followers. So what is it that he says? What is it is he says to those who have followed him thus far, followed him to Jerusalem? This reading, coming towards the end of Mark's Gospel, always comes up in November. We always hear it in November. At that time of year when virtually every church, at least in the Episcopal Church, is in the midst of their annual pledge campaign. You may think that clergy at least rub their hands with glee getting this particular reading, particularly the example of the widow, during this time when we are encouraging folks to pledge. The widow who gives so much out of her poverty. And yet it is not an occasion for glee. It is not actually really a very good reading for stewardship. This stewardship, at least for the fall pledge campaign. The widow gave, Jesus tells us, everything that she had to live on. Everything that she had to live on. She ultimately gave her life. Everything that she had. She gave sacrificially. Now there are times in the midst of our human lives when sacrificial giving is a holy act. We might acknowledge that today, right now, as we approach the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. There are times in our human lives when sacrificial giving is a holy act. Going from the sublime to the ridiculous, the parish annual pledge campaign is not one of those times. The parish annual pledge campaign is not about sacrificial giving. It is about generous giving. It is about generous giving, which most of us could do a little better at. Giving generously a portion of the abundance with which we have all been blessed. But if Jesus isn't really teaching about giving to religious institutions in this passage, what might he be saying to his followers? Maybe at least part of what he is teaching his disciples, teaching those who are with him, who have followed him all this way, maybe at least part of what he's teaching is about seeing. How we see the world around us. Last week at St. John's over breakfast, a couple of us were talking about how Jesus addresses blindness and deafness throughout his teaching and ministry. And about how Jesus addresses both literal and figurative blindness and deafness, about how he opens eyes and ears both literally and figuratively. We had that a couple of weeks ago in the reading about blind Bartimaeus, where Jesus literally opened Bartimaeus' eyes, giving him sight again. But Jesus also figuratively opened the ears of those who were with him, who, although they were able to hear, did not hear the cries of Bartimaeus in their midst. Today's story, I think, in a lot of ways, is very similar, driving home the same message, although the context is different. They have arrived at the temple. Temple, the focus, the pinnacle, the source of Jewish religious life. And remember, Jesus, of course, was a religious leader, and his followers were following him out of that desire, to be a part of religious life, to be in that world of the active practice of religion. And they have arrived at the pinnacle, the temple. Switching to a sports metaphor, it is for them, as people seeking a place in this new religious movement, they have the World Series, the Stanley Cup, the Super Bowl, and the World Cup all rolled into one. They have arrived at the temple with Jesus. And in that context, Jesus gives them some tips on seeing, on what they see. I imagine, and we don't know for sure, we can't, but I imagine that when they had arrived at the temple, the disciples couldn't take their eyes off of the scribes. These prominent religious figures there in the temple, the scribes. The scribes were treated with respect by all around them. They did have the best seats in the synagogue. Going back to the sports metaphor, the scribes were the star athletes of their day. And the disciples were having an "I want to be like Mike" moment. Looking at the scribes, seeing so much of what they admired and envied and sought. The disciples, we can imagine, looked upon the scribes with great respect and admiration. That's what they saw. And Jesus says to those with him, these guys who you envy, these guys who outwardly appear to have it all in the world of religion, many of them at least wanted and craved just that status and attention. Many of those whom you are seeing are people who have used religion, used the practice of religion for personal status and gain, only for the robes and the position that it grants to them. Beware, Jesus says. Be wary of what you admire. Be wary of what you emulate or aspire to be like. Do not see these people only in the way that they want to be seen as people of prominence and importance. Jesus tries to redirect the vision of those who are with him, to help them see differently, to help them see the world and the people in the world around them differently, to change who they see and who they don't see. The widow is nobody beneath, beyond their even notice. She doesn't even exist as a person in that world that they are looking out upon. Jesus doesn't ever say to the disciples that you should be her. He never explicitly even praises her for what she does, although he does seem to support it. Mostly what he says to the disciples is, notice her. Notice her. See her. See her. In the midst of all of the scribes and their prominence and finery, see, notice the poor widow. She's just a woman. Just a widow, no position, no prominence, but she matters, Jesus says. Notice her. She is worth noticing. Jesus seems to say to his disciples and to us, do not see people only in the way that they wish to be seen. See people in the way that God sees them. See people in the way that God sees them. And although it isn't a part of this particular scripture lesson, we might remember that God loves the scribes as well. God may not see the scribes in the way that the scribes want to be seen, but God sees the scribes too. With love, with the same complete love with which God sees the widow. Total, unqualified love. Jesus, in his last public teaching to his disciples, says to them and to us, see people, see everyone as God sees them, worthy of notice. Worthy of love. Being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus now just as much as then, how we perceive the world around us is very important. What we hear and choose not to hear, what we see or choose to overlook, how we sense perceive the world around us is the beginning of every choice we make. It determines where we go, what we do, whom we interact with and how. And Jesus reminds us to see and to hear the people around us as God sees and hears them, worthy of unqualified respect and love. Amen.
Amen.